and Matt Master Morrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch?
Good morning. Welcome back after a 3-week layoff to Brutal Brunch here.
WMFO, oh, yeah.
Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And we are here. It is a full show, all two of us.
So full.
Matt, who in theory wasn't here, was out of the state last week.
We'll get to that.
Then some other stuff happened, and yeah, so we've had one show.
Here we go, baby.
This summer so far, but we're back. I think we're good to go. We got a new intro. First time Matt's heard it.
It's very good. I like it.
You still got Freddy.
Yeah, as long as it has that clip from Freddy.
All right, so we opened things up. Had intended to do this several weeks ago. But that was Cave-In with Trepanning off Perfect Pitch Black. Of course, that was their post-Antenna album. And that song has to do with all the stuff that they dealt with from the music industry on the previous album. Anyway, again, that was Trepanning. And that is in memory of bassist Caleb Schofield, who passed away in March in a car accident. Yeah. And Cave-In actually had a reunion tribute show on June 13th at Royale. And Caleb's brother joined them. Also, they had Old Man Gloom play. If you follow the whole Cave-In thing, since Cave-In's, they've all gone many different directions. They have Mutoid Man, you have Old Man Gloom, and a bunch of other bands going on. So,
yep.
Nice big tribute show at Royale this past week. And again, so Caleb Schofield, bassist of Cave-In, has passed away. A couple other people passed away in the scene, which we'll get to later in the show. So rough few months.
Pretty bad
in the local music scene.
Not great. How you doing?
It's good.
How you doing personally?
Going so far. It's all right. Things are fine.
Good.
We're back on the air. We're still breathing.
Thank God.
And you had an adventure last weekend.
Oh yeah, it was awful. I was supposed to go to Las Vegas for the weekend to meet my fiance and her family, and I booked the flight the last minute because I wasn't planning on going before. And then I'm like, well, I should go and blah blah blah. And I booked the flight on Spirit Airlines, which is trash. Rookie mistake. I'd never even heard of it. That's how little I fly. So we get on the plane. It's like an 8 o'clock flight. And they're like, well, it's cool. There's a paperwork issue. First of all, I want to point this out because it's very concerning. I was like sitting up near the front of the plane, I guess. And the pilot was just hella chilling in the alley, I guess, of the plane, like in the aisle.
All right.
The door to the cockpit is just wide open.
While you're boarding,
wide open the whole time. I could have invaded the cockpit at any time. Anyway, so about 2 hours, like, you know what? Why don't we get off the plane and we'll just wait off the plane while they figure this paperwork issue out? So I watched the finals, RIP LeBron James, and then got back on, and they're like, well, actually the flight's canceled, and people were like flipping out because I guess like what Vegas people do is like people got on the plane like dressed up to go to the club.
I assume, yeah, you know, land and then go right out.
But it's like 5 hour flight, but you would actually land at like 10 o'clock, yep, Vegas time, essentially.
Have you been to Vegas before?
No.
Oh, okay.
So like guys were wearing their like cool club shirts, and like girls were wearing like dresses on a, which like seems like a pain to sit in a plane for 5 hours, but whatever. Anyway, people were furious. It took me till 3:30 to get my money back. State troopers were like corralling people around to like really, some kid like yelled and they sent like 9 state troopers. I'm like, this is kind of unnecessary. This is kind of an unnecessary show of force for this kid who's like upset about his plane ticket, but whatever. Anyway, yeah, so that's what happened. I was very upset. I went home. I got a 3:30 in the morning hamburger from McDonald's, which was very damaging.
That's the best time, though.
Very damaging to my body, I believe. And we didn't go. And now they're in Sedona or something. So I missed that anyway. Good times. That's what I've been doing. And I've been also, because Maggie's out of the state, just been living on my own, watching weird YouTube videos at all hours of the day.
You're free to watch the YouTube wrestling and anime.
I can watch any kind of Japanese cage match wrestling from the 90s that I want. Any kind of piranha match I want whenever. You know, any kind of weird anime from the late 80s. It's pretty depressing, actually, if you think about it. It's a cry for help.
Good thing you were broadcasting then, so everyone can hear it. And then where were you the week before? You were doing something ridiculous. Or no, you were just at a birthday party.
Yeah, my nephew's first birthday party. He's one.
He's Happy one. Birthday.
Thank you. He's very big.
That's the biggest birthday.
It is the biggest birthday. He's a thick child. Because he's my niece is 3 and he's 1, but he outweighs her, like guaranteed. Like he's like holding like a bag of cement. Like I don't understand it. Kid just eats steaks all day. He's gonna be massive. Gotta get him in the gym.
Get him to Russ.
Gotta get him to Russ.
All right. Why don't we just play some more music and then we'll talk. So Matt is back.
I'm back.
We have an hour ish of local metal to get to, and Matt has the This Week in Metal History. It's back, right?
I do.
We also have Black Metal Song of the Week.
We sure do. A good one.
We may talk about some horror movies. Also, We were not on speaking terms because of Matt disrespecting Primus. Because we went to see
someone left before Primus even showed up.
No, that's false. I was the only one enjoying Primus, but then
that's true.
Due to fluids pouring out of my eyes and nose due to allergies, I had to leave.
Matt got the stigmata. I guess we'll get to that.
All right. Yeah, Matt, no, doesn't understand the Primus.
I don't. I actually really don't. I think if you stayed there longer, you would have felt the same.
I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's get back. As I mentioned, in addition to Caleb Schofield, we had two other members of local metal scene pass away. The band Problem with Dragons that we've played several times on the show, their bassist Joe McGrone passed away in May, as did Todd Laskowski, who is a alum of many bands, including Rancid Christ, Signs of Angels, War Horse, and Desolate. There have been few services for both members, or both musicians, a lot of tributes happening, and just memories. So, going to play you a song from Problem with Dragons called Atomics. Probably my favorite Problem with Dragons song. So, I'll play that for you now. We'll come back. We'll do This Week in Metal History as well. Matt, you made me wait. It's been a month now. I've been trying to play new I Got the Nephilim, and their album finally came out last night.
Please
and,
play.
We'll finally get to that.
Please play the songs.
From there. All right, here we go. This is Problem with Dragons. You're listening to Riddle Bunch and WMFO Medford. 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org.
Yeah.
Taking up a new sport? It's a step in the right direction. But before you hit the playing field, be sure to exercise a little common sense. Take bullfighting, for instance. One misstep there, and chances are, it might just leave a mark. Fortunately, for the less dramatic sports, there are plenty of things you can do to lessen your chance of being injured. For instance, don't be just a weekend warrior. In addition to playing your sport, make sure you include a simple exercise program during the rest of the week. Stretching for flexibility, resistance training for strength, and cardio sessions for endurance. For more specific tips on preventing sports injuries, visit AAOS.org. That's AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who remind you to get up, get out, and get moving. Or for you matadors out there, keep your eye.
What do you think, Matt?
Amazing, obviously. I also heard that song. As soon as it came out, I was listening to it.
Oh, so it wasn't even a surprise for you.
The one thing I did miss was driving down to Worcester at noon or whatever to see them at the hardcore.
That's right. Office. So that's another thing we're supposed to discuss a month ago.
I met you and your...
Metal Ben.
You and Metal Ben.
Cousin Ben.
And you guys were like ragged. You know, there for like 7 hours.
Cousin Ben is going to be taking instructions from Dave Davidson, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Vacation, yeah.
Nice.
But So yes, we were at. So anyway, that was the latest from Begat the Nephilim, or Begat the Nephilim.
Fantastic.
Called Grimoire of Cryptid from the Surreptitious Prophecy.
Perfect.
Officially released last night.
Nah, I'm doing Italian chef's kiss all over the studio.
Tonight they play Connecticut, and they'll be back in Massachusetts. I was all pumped because I forgot where Agawam was. I'm going to be at the Cape on June 29th. So I was like, oh, that might be nearby. No, it's west of Springfield. So I guess
I'm
that's
the
not
same. I don't know where anything is. It's the worst.
So yeah, if you want to catch them in Mass, take a drive out to Agawam on...
Then you go to Six Flags.
June 29th. There you go. All right. So we do have the full concert calendar, which we'll get to. Real quick, Metal Fest.
Go ahead.
Yes, they kicked things off. They were the first band on, I think, at noon.
On the big stage.
The main stage.
Yeah.
Metal Fest, for the five bands that you saw, thumbs up this year?
Thumbs up. I loved it. As the Oceano being in the small room.
That was disappointing.
It was disappointing to be in the small room until I was like, this is the most intense thing I've ever been at, because it was
I feel like I've never been to a concert, like I've never been, had any concerns about like fire code or anything like that.
Oh my god, yeah.
That was the concern. Oceano and the small stage.
Oh, were you just nerved out?
Yeah. I wasn't nerved out, but it was just like, it was like the first time I thought, even thought about it. It's like,
if a fire happens.
Like sardines, like hot as balls. He didn't even talk about aliens. He was talking about positivity.
He didn't talk about aliens.
And I was like, I'm not being positive right now because I'm hot and angry and tired. I want to talk about aliens.
Yeah, like people were farting on me and like, yeah. But I still liked it. Oceano
was
really
great.
Good.
It was, yeah. It was great.
I like that guy.
Great American Ghost was also on that stage again, put on a great show.
Very good, as usual. Most athletic front man in the game.
Yes. And who else? Oh, of course, Fit for an Autopsy.
Sure.
That's when you came in. You came in for like the big breakdown
on
Black Mammoth. It was fantastic.
I did.
Great entrance music.
No, great. Great as usual. I always have fun there. I really have never not had a good time at any of those shows.
That's
but
true.
Yeah, the fire code. I thought the chief was going to walk in and stop us.
I mean, by the way, speaking of things that have been shut down, Irish Times is still available, apparently. All right.
It's three stories of fun.
Are you ready for your
always.
For your spotlight? Not going to be rusty?
Oh, I'm going to be rusty.
Here it comes.
Welcome to This Week in Metal History.
No new intro for that.
Here we go, baby.
Bamafall. They're coming.
Yeah, they're coming. And
they already came. Halloween is coming.
Halloween is coming. The Hammerfall Twitter account was talking a lot about New Japan Pro Wrestling. They were watching whatever the Super Juniors or whatever was on. Oh, Dominion. Anyway, this week in metal history, June 10th to the 16th, things that I found particularly interesting. June 10th, 2014, Arch Enemy releases War Eternal, the first album with new vocalist Alyssa Whiteglus, replacing patron saint of Brutal Brunch, Angela Gossow. No!
Oh. There you go.
Thank you. Pretty good. I looked up. It's like, I kind of always know what you're going to get from these folks. Like, it's like, it's going to be good and I'm going to like it. Kind of like what we were talking about, which maybe I'll address later in the this week's in metal history, when I'm like, kind of this is the thing I like and I'm not really thinking about much else.
That's right. Also, by the way, you'll touch on a band that are our big flashpoint for our big debate.
Very
today,
big flashpoint.
Which we teased on social media, but didn't tease this morning. But
I know.
We'll begin to As I Lay Dying.
It's about man boobs. June 10th, 1983, Pantera, kind of, releases their debut album, Metal Magic. It's
speaking of problematic people.
It's just Vinnie Paul and Dimebag Darrell. No. Ooh. Phil Anselmo. This is their kind of like 80s, we want to sound like Kiss sound.
I don't know. If you start Hell Yeah, you're kind of problematic anyway.
Well, it's okay. produced by Dime and Vinnie's dad and country music singer Jerry Abbott. This is Metal Magic. It sounds a lot like Kiss. Obviously, they would change later when they added Anselmo. Who's a jerk?
Is this that album with like the lion creature on
it? It has a lion with pants. A man lion, I guess, with pants. You can tell it's them, though, you know, like the drums and the guitar sounds. It's there. It's just like Terry Glaze. He's singing up here.
That's your vocals. That's your range.
That's my range! Matt, it wouldn't be a metal history if we didn't have German power metal. And that's why on June 10th, 1999, German power metal band Primal Fear releases the album Clutches of Death. Hang on. Ready? It's called Church of Blood. I'm going to the Renaissance Fair playing this one. Big hitter coming up.
Are you going to go with those wrestlers?
Yes, I'm going to go with War Machine to the Renaissance Fair. I like those guys. I hope they're not secretly jerks.
Who are the wrestlers of that band? Or both?
Both. Oh, no. You know, both. Honestly, both. I think we're okay with I think we're okay with those guys. June 12th, 85, Matt's favorite band, Megadeth, releases their debut album, Killing Is My Business, and Business Is Good. This is the first album from Megadeth after Mustaine gets kicked out of Metallica for being more of an alcoholic than them, and they didn't like the way he played guitar. He was given $8,000 from Combat Records to record the album, and they spent all of it on food and booze and kind of had to rush to put this thing together. He did, Mustaine is, you know, notoriously, at this time especially, a bitter and angry man, having left, or been kicked out of Metallica, and was like, I'm gonna make my songs better and louder and faster than Metallica. So the song Mechanics, which we're playing now, is actually what he wrote, that he wrote the riffs for this song, obviously, or composed the riffs, I guess I would say. He had composed them earlier while with Metallica and was going to use them in the song Four Horsemen. And then Metallica put out Four Horsemen, and it's a little bit slowed down version of this. So see if you can kind of tell. So this is obviously the Megadeth style, which is just like wall of noise. You know what I'm saying? It's just missing. It's like slightly faster.
I'm sorry, I can't even make that comparison. I'm also distracted by the first Purge trailer right now that's playing. Anyway,
let's talk about horror movies later. I get it.
I have nothing to say about Megadeth and or Metallica. So whatever you say. Yes.
Hey, you know,
I can hear it.
It is what it is. No Vic Rattlehead on the cover of this album because they didn't have the artwork ready. So it's just a plastic picture of a skull with a chain on it, which is actually much better, I think. Speaking of man boobs, As I Lay Dying releases their debut album, Beneath the Encasing of Ashes, 2001, June 15, 2001. So I was talking to you about this off air, and I guess, and we're going to talk about Lambesis coming up, but this era of music, I was 15, 16. I think Killswitch was big for me, and I think any kind of band that kind of sounded like them, I'm like, yeah, I like these guys also. So I really didn't have like a, I don't know, like a refined ear for stuff. So I probably did like a lot of these songs at the time. I feel like that seems fair. Obviously, we'll get to that later. Not a nice man.
It's like, you know, yeah, the mid-aughts metalcore.
That was just kind of what it was. Metalcore was
born out of Massachusetts, by the way.
And that's it. Man, here's a big heavy hitter. June 12th, 1989, Lion released the album Trouble in Angel City.
So this is not going to be that heavy?
Oh, it's going to be heavy as hell. Matt, do you know the band Lion?
I'm sure that we've covered them before.
Oh, we have.
I promptly forgot about them.
Because they did the theme song to the original Transformers movie. Which slaps hard. Lion, kind of like one of those bands that did a lot of this kind of stuff. They did a lot of soundtracks. They were like, what got me into like kind of this genre of music was like, yeah, quite honestly, like the Transformers movie. I'm like, I like guitars and people kind
sounds
of
like Bang Camaro
shouting. Yeah.
Like what they're trying to
market. Yes. All right, so there's your Transformers theme. You know what else they did? The theme song to The Wraith with Never Surrender. Do you ever see The Wraith with Charlie Sheen?
I've seen clips of it.
It's pretty bad. Yes. Charlie Sheen dies and comes back as a magic
drag race
Toyota Celica. Yeah. No, I don't know. Like, he drives people to death. But from this album, which was their last studio album, has the song Love Is a Lie.
What year was this?
This is June 12th, 89. Has a song on this album called Love Is a Lie, which you might remember as being part of the funniest scene in the entire history, which is when Crispin Glover starts dancing around like a maniac from Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Which I'm playing right now, and I know it's a visual medium, but I'm just describing it to you. So there's this song playing in the background.
Yep.
And Crispin Glover is essentially having a stroke. He's just whipping his arms around.
Because you have the two twins. right? Yep. And he's like, he's about to shoot a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it manifests itself. It's the greatest dance in cinematic history.
If you're going to shoot your shot, I mean, dance around like Crispin Glover, because you are... The ladies are going to love it.
They do. It worked?
It did work, actually. You know what? I can't argue with this. These are facts. Matt, guess what else came out on June 15th, 1999? One of your favorite bands.
I mean, we have a running list now.
One of your favorite bands. Merciful Fate releases the album 9, their last studio album. Honestly, it's not like the Abigail stuff. It's actually more like screamed vocals. Like, King Diamond doesn't get into the register that I want him to as often on this album.
You're just waiting for it. Never happened for you.
This is the song Insane off Merciful Fate 9. So there's our boy. And I actually have a note that says skip to 143, which I will now do, because that's when it gets to the... And it's not even as high as I want it to be. Anyway, Matt, that's This Week in Metal History. Thank you.
Thank you. I missed it. I missed my dose of power metal and King Diamond. Is this you singing over it because you were...
That's me. I actually re-recorded this. I want it to be higher.
All right. So that's what happened in the past. Now you can hear what's coming up. Tonight, Saturday, June 16th at Sammy's Patio, it is Sammy's Metal Massacre with Inverted Trifixion, Legion's Descent, Nocuous, Coffin Birth, and Murrum. Tomorrow at Sammy's, you can see So This Is Suffering, The Last King, Lack of Remorse, Noxai Arena, Rain, and White Lights. Monday at Thunder Road in Somerville. I didn't know that existed until this week.
That's badass.
You can see Aviation's Others by No One and Ouroboro.
Where is that?
Somerville. I don't know where in Somerville. Hmm. Tuesday, June 19th at Midway Cafe, it's Myth of I, Nocuous Again, Cryptidus, An Unction in Braille, and Screams of Hockamock. Thursday's a big one at O'Brien's. You can see R.I.P., The Humanoids, Reckless Force, and Ice Giant. Great Scott has Discordia, The Summon, Juggernaut, and Boar Corpse. Bray Music Hall has Magic Sword and The Beast of Nod. Ralph's is Metal Thursday with Castle, Benthic Realm, Altar of Ash, and Onera. And at 13th Floor Music Lounge, you can see Lich King with Condition Critical and Grave Knight.
Nice.
And finally, next Friday at O'Brien's, it's the Death Kiss Radio Volume 2 release show featuring Test Meat, Gas Kill, Burnham Wood, and Gasoline Virgins. And at the Paradise, it's Code Orange with Wicked Phase, Rings Eternal, Twitching Tongues, Vane, and Trail of Lies.
It's right near the Market Basket in Somerville, the old Market Basket, Thunder Road. It's just like curious. I'm like, that's odd.
I mean, thank you.
No.
Also, we'll talk about this more later, but RPM Fest, since we've been on last, the full lineup has been announced.
It's back.
50 bands, including Black Tusk, Tombs, Whores, Acid Witch, Insight. Who else local is here? Your boys, Barishi, Worshipper.
Perfect.
Cortez, Rosamov, Perfect. Seven Spires, Averse, Tonic Pulse.
Great.
Oxen are back.
Yes.
Epicenter's back.
As long as they play, like,
Black Mass
when the
and
sun's
Goblet.
Going down and it's real chill.
Yes.
That was, like, the perfect...
That was perfect for
the
them.
The perfect listening
we
experience
for
Oxen.
We have to demand that they play Friday.
Yeah.
Hepatagua, Cazador, Humanoids, Des Muerte, Graviton, Beast of Nod. Who else? The band I can never pronounce. Vivisepulture, Crow Rider, Jabai Bukaki.
Uh-huh.
And that's what everybody I recognize.
Get it.
August 24th to 26th at Miller's Falls Rod and Gun Club in Montague, Massachusetts.
Hell yeah.
Tickets on sale now at rpmfest.org. Maybe we'll sponsor.
Thank God for RPM Fest, because there's parts of Massachusetts I would never even know existed if it weren't for RPM Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, Montague.
All right, want to do your Black Metal Song of the Week, then we'll come back and talk about Tim and do the Police Blotter?
Yes,
or should we do the Police
I
Blotter first?
Do.
Do you want to do the Police Blotter first or Black Metal Song first?
Black Metal's only 5 minutes.
All right, let's hear it from your boys.
I can just go right into it. It's Tribulation, everyone's favorite Swedish quartet, with their newish last year.
I have a lot of favorite Swedish quartets.
The Lament from Tribulation. This is your Black Metal Song of the Week. An amazing video also. It's just a bunch of sad boys outside of a house playing metal in the dark. And I think they're trying to coax the goth daughter of a rich man out of the house. I believe that is the theme of the video. Anyway, Tribulations of the Lament, Black Metal Song of the Week. Thank you.
Excellent choice as always. Black Metal Song of the Week. That was Tribulation, The Lament, off of Down Below, their latest album.
Thank you.
Solid album all around. All right, now let's talk about your boy. The big news of the past week or so has been the original lineup of As I Lay Dying is reforming. They're reuniting with original frontman Tin Lambesis. I guess the only frontman they've had.
True.
So, to recap.
Criminal.
For those of you who have not followed the story.
We have, actually,
back
right?
in, I think we have. We were more about
the man boob thing.
We may have covered that, and then we're also about the decapitations case, which was also dismissed.
Holy moly.
But anyway, that's the band, meaning not an actual decapitation. But Tin Lambesis, As I Lay Dying, they were all set to go on tour, I believe, with the Boys Killswitch, or was another band. Now, anyway, back in 2013, they're all good to go, and then he was arrested on charges of conspiring to...
Murder his wife?
Yeah, trying to tried to hire an undercover cop to kill his estranged wife, Megan.
Jesus.
And his estranged wife, and they had three adopted children because he was a one-time disciple of Christ. And there was a weird statement after he got arrested that was making it very clear he was an atheist. It was all very strange. But anyway, originally he pled not guilty, and then he changed his plea in February of 2014 to guilty.
Good.
He wound up being sentenced to 6 years in prison. However, he just got out this past December on parole.
Yeah. 5 years. How long did he do?
So he's not like three plus, almost four out of the six.
It's not lenient. It's not a long sentence for conspiracy to. This is first degree murder.
It was
like
a
conspiracy to commit first degree murder.
So, and then along the way, and at one point, he sued the jail because he was roided out of his mind. So yes, he was because whatever medication it was that he was prescribed to prevent him. basically growing male breasts he didn't have access to, so he decided to grow them in jail.
Because you produce more, you lose your natural testosterone when you take steroids or something like that, so like you produce estrogen somehow. And so if you don't have it,
there you go.
Boobs.
Dr. Matt with the description.
I'm a doctor.
And then while he was also in jail, he found another woman willing to marry him, and he has since married her. Even though his previous wife, he attempted a murder.
Sure.
So anyway, back in 2014, As I Lay Dying, the band members moved on and formed their own band called Woven War.
Alter Bridge. Oh.
You heard As I Lay Dying. This is what Woven War sounds like.
Fine. I mean, that's
Woven War. Anyway, they did not do as well as I Lay Dying, which leads to one theory as to why they're reforming. But anyway, back in 2014, guitarist Nick Hippa stated clearly he needs a lot of time to work on some things, and we have tried our hardest for years to pull him aside and get him to see things the way they were, not actually the way he thought they should be, and it just didn't work, to the point where we felt like our voices were falling on deaf ears. Even still, when all this went down, we just tried to move on with our lives, he said. And they were also very, because of course, in these situations, you have people who are angry at Megan, the wife, for
they're angry at the wife?
Her, like, fans and crazy
for not
people.
What? For being like, easier to kill?
Claiming that, it was her fault or whatever.
Yeah.
As you will. And the MREs came out, the metalcore MREs.
Oh, no.
But and at the time, the band members were like, she was our friend, too. Like, you don't understand. Like, it wasn't just like we knew Tim and didn't know her. It's like she was part of the band. So keep that in mind.
That's what I'm saying.
They were very close to Megan
right,
as well.
Right, exactly. It would be like, exactly. Like,
so keep that in mind with what happens a couple
of
years later.
Friends,
you know?
Like, sorry, I tried to kill your wife.
Yeah. You figure why they would support her and kind of distance themselves from Tim.
That's absurd.
So in 2016, Nick, this was in October. He says, even more discouraging for me, this was he was being interviewed, is the fact that he's trying to file a lawsuit for that amount. This was
the lawsuit against
stuff.
The jail.
I don't know if it was about jail or the member, whatever it was. It says to me he's still the same sort of personality at his core. Nothing has changed. He thinks of himself in a certain way, and he thinks of himself in a situation where he, a situation he created as a victim. 2 days later, it was published that their drummer, Jordan Mancino, said there was no ill will. So I think there was a little bit of disconnect at that point.
Yes.
And now, so he gets out of jail in December.
Who's pulling the strings behind
this?
He's
reforming As I Lay Dying. This is last year. He's going to reform As I Lay Dying with brand new members, because it's obvious that the old guys aren't going to rejoin. But that all changed this past week when they put out a new song, and lo and behold, all the original band members decided, hey, we're going to play with him again.
It's cool now.
So they got rid of all the new members, brought back the old guys, so I guess Woven War is now defunct. And there's been no real official, I mean, there's been a statement somewhat, but they say that we know there's a lot of questions in everybody's minds, and we will address them.
Yeah, many questions.
So my question is, why would you do this? Why would you listen to As I Lay Dying at this point?
Well, that's the thing that's confusing is, like, who... I guess because, right, all things are driven by money. So, like, is there, like, some manager behind the scenes who's, like, doing the numbers? Because obviously that's the only reason why they're getting back.
That has to be come down to it because Wolver Warland never went anywhere.
No. So there's some, like...
And now they're back in the spotlight.
Yeah. There's some evil producer in the back, you know, like, putting them, you know, trying to put this together because he knows people will buy it, right? I mean, that's obviously the case. And I think that's just
if you look at the comments on the new song they put out, right. Yes, there's an audience ready to buy new music and support
that's what I'm saying. So, like, so I guess I don't know what I'm saying. I guess I know that it will sell, you know, and that's why they're getting together for money, you know? And the question is, why should you listen to them? Like, who would listen to them? I have no idea.
So my question is, because I feel like we've dealt with this a lot in the black metal scene, obviously.
Sure.
But metalcore...
I'm wearing a Mayhem shirt.
Yeah. And it's obviously not as common in necessarily in the metalcore genre, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so the argument is, well, Tim was arrested, he pled guilty, so quote-unquote, paid his debt to society.
The only person who's ever paid his debt to society is Michael Vick.
That's true. Michael Vick is a great example of somebody who did pay his debt.
The punishment was extreme. I like dogs quite a bit.
This is a great segue.
He was really arrested for gambling, essentially. And how many years he's been in jail?
It was a while.
Five?
I didn't think it was that long.
Four? 4 years in jail. So this guy spent the same amount of time for trying...
I was not prepared for this argument, yeah, for this discussion.
He spent the same amount of time...
I agree with you, bud.
...for trying to kill his wife, a human, the mother of their children. And he got the same amount of time in jail, and he has not paid his debt to society, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, so Vic played...
Unlike Michael Vick,
Vic who has played paid his debt. The full season in 2006, and then he was back for 2009, so...
2 years.
In the NFL. But yes, and also, I would say, I don't know that somebody said that trust has to be re-earned or whatever. Like, you have no idea if he's actually reformed.
No.
I don't think that.
Well, I guess what's interesting is, like, if he was in a pop band, couldn't he go on Oprah or something and cry?
Have a redemption.
Do you know?
Thing? But that's the thing. Like, this is different. So, one example would be, again, going back to black metal, is Varg.
Well, Varg just lives in the woods now, where he belongs.
So, I would say, like, if you compare these cases in a vacuum, and you just say, like, well, Varg actually did commit murder, and yes, Tim didn't get that far. However, it's like almost like different situations when people talk about second chances. It's kind of like one thing, like Varg, not that I'm saying it's okay, not defending him, obviously,
no,
but his was more of like, that's like almost gang-related violence, right?
It was gang violence.
Retaliation in his mind for...
They're both idiots.
How do you say his name? Euronymous, whatever. Euronymous, who essentially talked dead into killing himself.
Sure.
But so in like a twisted way, like to him, that was a revenge killing. And Tim's was like this innocent woman that he was planning to kill. And even though it didn't work, there's something like a situation like Varg, you can kind of buy the whole rehabilitation argument. Whereas this other one is like this roided out dude.
True.
Supposedly a Christian.
But I guess with him too, like with we know that Varg is not rehabilitated.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Do you know,
that's
the thing is like
I'm not defending it, but if you look at the actual crimes in themselves,
just the crime itself,
yeah,
and also the weird system of law they have over there, yes, where it's like you got the maximum
penalty.
That's true.
If it was in the United States, he would still be in jail.
Yeah, these people like that lady that Kim Kardashian just got released was in jail for like her entire life for like an eighth of weed or something. And so I don't know how you're rehabilitated by jail time.
Then if you look at it. Well, in Norway, that's what their focus is on. But yes, Varg is also basically a Nazi. So I don't listen to Burzum.
Sure.
I have no interest in Burzum in supporting him. So, and he also allegedly tried to invade Paris.
He did. Time. Not allegedly, he did.
And then you talked about Kim Kelly, Grim Kim.
Yeah. I really wasn't paying attention.
Yes.
To As I Lay Dying's Reformation, and I follow her on Twitter, and she brought it up, and I was like, interesting.
But so I didn't understand her point though, because she says, my main thought is, we know what Faust killed somebody literally just because he was gay.
Yes.
We know what Faust and so many of our metal legends did.
Matt, please, Faust.
Faust, whatever. But there's a generational divide. The '90s feel like eons ago, whereas As I Lay Dying, man pulled this crap in the 2010s, it's easier to care now the way we should have cared all along. So I don't understand.
I'm not following her
logic. But she's still calling Faust, damn it, a legend. And, like, I guess, objectively, you could say that, and his performance with Emperor. The same way people consider Chris Benoit a wrestling legend. But at the same time...
he's a monster.
I don't understand what distinction she's making.
I don't either.
Is she saying it's okay to like emperor still because it was a long time ago and you can have time to digest it, whereas as they're dying, you can't tell? Or is she... I mean, I would argue, and if you...
I think what she's...
those fans, because people are making... people. Somebody was like, oh yeah, fans of metalcore in 2002 to 2008 are the worst metalheads I've ever dealt with. And it's like, all wait a minute. This is what happens with these things. It's like, oh, suddenly all metalcore fans are terrible, just like deathcore fans are terrible or pop punk fans are terrible because musicians do bad things.
It's the whole art and the artist thing, right? And like, there's been a lot of arguments about that too. Like, Emperor's a great band, Faust is a monster. And the question is like, do I have to put aside the artist to enjoy the art all the time? Or by doing that, am I actually like missing other art that I could be listening to? Like I'm like, yes, Emperor is a great band, but are there other bands that I just missed because I was doing this like mental gymnastics of like putting aside this guy to listen to the music, you know, like that? And that's one part of this whole thing, right? Is like you can do that. I mean, people do it all the time. But the question is like, is that kind of like a diminishing return scenario where like you've done it so much that now you've actually missed out on like, hey, here's a band doing black metal stuff and they're all like swell. You know, they're all like swell folks. Right. They're like cool, just normal folks. So there's that part. And then the other thing, I think what we're trying to get at too, and I guess what I would say is at the time, you could say like, well, I wasn't in the media in the 90s, right? If I'm Kim or somebody like that, but I am now. And so I couldn't say, hey, folks, don't listen to Emperor because Faust killed a homosexual man because he wanted to, because mm-hmm. it was a hate crime. Don't listen to them, you know? Whereas now you could do that, right? So isn't that what she's trying to say? I think that's what she hopefully is trying to say, right? Like where she, I guess, I don't know what that's what she's trying to say, but in other words, couldn't do it back then, but now you're actually seeing it happen in front of you. Should we actually say, no, we don't want this? As opposed to like, well, when I was in the 90s, I was 7.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure what the point is, but in conclusion, I would say do not support As I Lay Dying.
Don't do that. Don't listen to those guys.
All right.
Do listen to Alter Bridge, though. I regret the shots I took at them earlier.
Have you had a, like, what's this newfound respect for Alter Bridge? You've been hanging out with Norbert too long, man.
I've been hanging out with John too much.
You gotta be careful. You're going to wind up at a Nickelback show.
I'm going to go see Nickelback.
And, okay. We're running out of time. We had to kind of curtail that conversation. But let's get to the crime in Melrose real quick. Look at all these things I have circled.
So much crime.
This is a week... hell of a week in Melrose.
I'm bewildered by the crime.
One of the highlights, and you'll understand.
There's an article on the back says recreational marijuana offers new local revenue.
There you go. Although, well, now the anti-pot man is gone.
That's right.
So it's our time to fill that gap. But anyway, it's gonna have to go quick.
Go.
Thursday, June 7th, police went to a section of Warwick Road around 9 p.m. after being told that a family of raccoons had to scatter because of vehicle traffic. The mother raccoon, a concerned caller said, had become separated from her young, who were all over the roadway. Police assisted helping one raccoon out of a wheel well of a nearby vehicle. A road rage incident was reported on Friday, June 8th, in the Whole Foods Market parking lot. Good to know that Whole Foods is still the scene of the crime.
It's
for
always
all crime.
The scene of the crime. That is where all the calls come from, quite frankly.
And then a witness said around, because this is what happened in the Whole Foods parking lot. It was not trucks, but a witness said that around 2:40 p.m., the driver of a pickup truck and the operator of a BMW were yelling at each other while behind the wheel of their respective vehicles.
Hell yeah.
On Monday, June 4th, a Laurel Street woman told police around 10:35 a.m. that a vehicle was parked in her driveway that she did not recognize. Police learned it belonged to someone who had parked in the wrong driveway.
Ooh.
It was probably you. A caller wished to remain anonymous told police around 2:10 p.m. of a possible incident at the Common after school. No further details.
Very mysterious.
On Tuesday, June 5th, just before 4 a.m.
It's a continuation of that thing with the raccoons.
Police were told of a car driving slowly without headlights on Harold Street.
That's probably me.
Well, were you delivering newspapers? Because that's what this person was doing.
No.
So, not a safe space.
And my muffler is loose, so it would not be silent. It would be very loud.
There would be multiple calls.
Yes.
At about 8:50 a.m. on Wednesday, June 6th, a raccoon was spotted going through a recycling bin on Herbert Street.
They call the cops on this? Like,
well, just wait. The caller said the raccoon was also sick. Someone from animal control responded and found the animal to be okay.
Oh, okay.
At 11:25, a raccoon was spotted walking near the railroad tracks at the West Foster Berwick Streets intersection.
Very suspicious.
That's all I got. At 12:36 p.m.,
where is he going?
A citizen complained that a truck was blocking the intersection of East Foster and Gooch. Police spoke to the driver, learned he was making a delivery, and decided the matter to be resolved.
Hmm.
At 2:40 p.m., a raccoon was spotted near the TD Bank North on Main Street and was removed from the area.
God, what's going on?
At 3:05 p.m.,
I got to move my dad out of there.
Someone was driving a moped in the Melrose YMCA parking lot, told police the front brake wasn't working and he would not be riding the vehicle anymore. So I'm glad we got that cleared up.
He confessed?
Yes.
Oh.
An unknown animal was injured when struck by a motor vehicle along a section of West Emerson Street just before 5 p.m.
Ugh.
Well, then a dead rat was found out on Washington Street sidewalk and handled by DPW around 5:40 p.m.
Oh,
aren't you glad you know these things? At about 9:50 p.m., a man riding a motorized shopping car north of Main Street in the southbound lane near Gray's Appliance was reported to police who were unable to locate him during a search of the area.
A motorized shopping cart?
Apparently he was moving fast. Jeez. A street sweeper allegedly
involved with the raccoons
and idling for nearly 10 minutes as of 10:24 p.m. was gone when police arrived.
Hmm.
And on Thursday, just before 2 a.m., a Myrtle Street resident told police of a woman yelling somewhere in the area. Police heard nothing when they responded.
Ooh.
Makes you think.
That's like the new horror film Hereditary, which we didn't get to.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so that's fine.
Oh.
On Friday, June 8th, at about 4:50 a.m., someone was reported flying a drone near the Incarnation Church on Upham Street. Police told the person to operate the drone somewhere else.
Hell yeah.
They should have confiscated the drones, because drones are stupid.
Smash that thing.
An older man, in quotes, was reportedly removing upwards of 70 flowers from properties in the Russell and Cottage Street areas around 4:30 p.m. Police said they would be on the lookout for him.
Interesting.
Sure, he was not hard to spot, camouflaging those flowers.
Beautiful bouquet together.
On Saturday, June 9th, just before 1 p.m., a suspicious black box reported underneath bench at Wyoming Depot turned out to be a rat trap. And police were unable to find a potentially rabid raccoon reportedly wandering through Perkins Street backyards around 4:20 p.m. And finally, on June 10th, that was last Sunday, a Perkins Street resident was assisted after saying she was concerned about a
raccoon
in the area around 1:10 p.m.
Thank God I walk around.
Six police calls, or calls to the police, about raccoons.
I mean, that's why I'm an armed citizen.
You know? That's why you got your hatchet.
Just because, what if a raccoon tipped over my garbage? I had to call the cops.
You know? All right, so that finally does for us. That's a very long police report.
Not even including good first show back.
Tim Lampesis. We'll get the pacing down eventually now.
New Deaf Heaven for next week.
New Deaf Heaven, but you can't ruin the Black Metal Song of the Week. Anyway, stay tuned for Mike on Mike coming up next. We're going to wrap things up with brand new Godsmack.
Yes.
We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Until then, stay brutal.
Contradictions, why won't you let me out? I need a way to separate, but I promise you that I'll make sure you never forget me. Now that you want it, now that you need it, I'm too far gone. You're trying to play me, but I'm not breaking. I'm telling so twisted that it's freaking me out. Distant eyes, it's no surprise you can't do anything now.